team's alright with me. Dream team's alright. Oh yeah! I'm Roy. I coach Destroy. This is Warnie.
Yeah, the coach of the Warn Dogs.
This is Calvin.
Coach of the Calvin Eagles.
And we're pretty excited because we've never done a podcast before, so we're bringing it to you. We're
something new.
Yeah, it certainly is, and we are very excited. We'll get a quick recap of how the boys went this week, Warnie.
Oh, well, you start with me. Normally, we go with the high score first, and it is usually me, but yeah, I was the I was the green vest wearer this week, so I ended up with 2,131. Not awful. Did knock me down a few positions, 470th overall now, but you know, still within range.
Tell you what, you were pretty emo that afternoon until Michael Barlow brought
it
home.
Holy hat, we'll talk about Barlow later. Calvinator.
2,173 for myself, but it's sort of the Super coach flag is what I'm doing.
Super.
Sitting about 6,000 now. It's not great, but geez, it's better than my 17K in DT. Troy?
Yeah, well, what a week to do the podcast, because for once I've actually come first out of the three of us. I got 2,197. So that's back-to-back weeks of really respectable scores from me, despite a few laid out. So I've jumped 15,000 spots in 2 weeks.
You are a jet, Roy. You are a jet.
I'm not
now.
A jet, but I'm back.
You're coming back.
I'm back.
Now, boys, this is one of the things we're going to do for this Mad Monday podcast. We're going to look at our votes. So we're going to give our three votes, and just a three. We're going to give the guy that gets a kick or whatever for you. But we'll also look at our negative three votes. Let's start off with the threes. Calvinator, who gets your three?
Look, I got my three vote to a guy that I got in early on in the year, and it's about bloody time he did something. Ryan O'Keefe, finally. Oh. He laid 14 tackles, smacked out a big 130+, so it's about time.
I remember the week you got him in, and tackling was what got him over the line.
Yep.
Where has that been?
It hasn't been anywhere, Roy. And it's back, though. Look,
it's back.
He's going to pump out 140s from here on
in. Oh, I like it.
Yep, three votes.
All right. Well, I'll go with mine then. I'm going to have to say Michael Barlow, Roy. You did talk him up. He did come. He was awesome. He just absolutely junked it, and I had an unwinnable game. I still lost, but it got me within 6 points. I think it was
in the end.
So he was
amazing.
He just pigged it up like a mofo. How about you, Roy?
Well, it's always good when you get someone in and they perform straight away. Joe Watson, he pumped out 122 for me. It was just, you know, my team needs solid performers like that, and he didn't let me down.
He was a machine. We all talked people away from getting him in, really, because he had the round 13 bye. You listened to yourself, and you were good with it, and he performed. All right, negative three votes. So these are the guys. These are sort of our duds that we weren't happy with. So the ones that have kicked it away. Well, Roy, you keep going. Who was your negative three for this week?
Well, it's kind of controversial because it's my boy from last week, Brandon Ellis, late withdrawal, and I think that is well worthy of a negative three. So realistically, he only got me 152 the week before now because that's a big negative three.
But like I tweeted out there, and I know you didn't like it very much because it was rubbing it in a bit, like you would have taken a 70-odd average from him over 2 weeks, wouldn't you?
Without a doubt. I said on the episode I'd be more than happy to take 70-80s from the big fella, let alone a 29 from poor old Jacko happened to fill in for
him. So he would have got your three votes last week.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
He's back to zero, though, on the best and fairest.
All right, Calvin, who were your negative threes?
Oh, look, I didn't think I'd ever get to the point where I would be saying...
Oh, no!
What? The pig has got to get the negative three from
you.
You
can't turn on him like that.
Look, I just don't get it. I don't understand what's going on. 23 touches last week, 85 points... 67 super coach, right?
He looked disinterested.
And then 90 the week before. The pig is... He's just getting... He just doesn't look like his normal piggish self. So as far as captaincy going, we'll talk about that later. He's off the radar big time at the moment. So yeah, negative three, pig, lift your game. Dog.
My negative three, well, I guess I can't... I'm not going to be too negative about these boys, but I had a couple of rookies on the ground and they stunk it up and I'm not going to give it to those boys. So... Jesse, sorry, mate. And Jacko, sorry, mate. I know I counted on you this week, but I'm going to have to say it's actually Joel Selwood. Yeah. Oh, my God. I bought him 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, he's been disappointing.
And I say it every year. He's not a premium dream teamer.
Nah.
But I get tricked every year thinking that he's going to be. And so, yes, he got subbed out at three-quarter time for 75. He would have had his 100 if he played.
Yep.
But I can now see a rest coming, and that's... a bit scary, I think. So, yeah, that's where I'm at the moment for my negative three. Calvin, we've got to hear about the talking points of the round.
Well, let's get into it then with injuries. Let's cover Joel Selwood. 75, as you said, he went off with an elbow. Now, he's guaranteed to be rested, surely. They play the Suns this week. And then the week after that, GWS. And then they've got the bye. Other guy, look, the other big one there is Dean Turlick. Cracked ribs. Now, he's going to miss weeks, so we need to make a decision what we do with him. Break even of 18, break even of 31 in Supercoach. So he's still got a bit of coin to make. But in the scheme of things, he's got to go.
A lot of backlines actually need him.
Yep.
They're not that deep at the moment, so... Yep.
Well, someone like yourself with Ellis, now you've got this as well, so...
I held one of those Port Muppets too. Yep. I've still got Pittard back there.
So the axe has got to go. Jesse Lonergan, look, he did a hammy.
But sounding like 4 weeks. Yeah. Oh, the mail I've got. Oh, yeah. No. So it's through the buys.
Keep an eye on him. Yeah. Keep an eye on him. But the big one comes with Leuenberger.
Oh.
Now, dislocated thumb.
Big Berg.
And he was, look, it says he is unlikely this week.
Well, he went to hospital. He went to hospital after it. It stayed dislocated for a couple of hours, apparently. So, yeah.
Jeez. So the footage of him on the bench where they were pulling at it and tugging it, that was them not getting it in.
Mm.
So he obviously went to hospital with it hanging off and they put it back in. So he did recovery and they reckon it was heavily bandaged and that. And he came out and said that, you know, obviously wants to play against Collingwood this week. Big game, la-di-da. But, geez, I haven't written him off yet. But the thing is, are we happy with Blickhavs to cover that?
He's been in good form the last couple of weeks and he is playing against Gold Coast, so I think that's a massive positive in his favour. Normally with these 44 trades, I think we'd all feel like let's get rid of Berger. He's been great, he's gone up a truckload in value, and so it might be the time to upgrade him, as we would normally think. But I think we can probably get away with Blickhaz against the old Gold Coast.
Fair to say they are thin in the ruck department.
They are, and so we've got old Gorringe there, he's sitting there, and you know, he wasn't great because old Max Bailey smoked them on the weekend.
Yeah, like, Kev's coming off a good game too. Probably one of his best of the year. Yep. Yeah.
The other guy to look at as well is Dean Cox. Is he sore? 0 hundreds in his last three games. He's got Richmond, St Kilda and the bye. And look, that's my next thing I want to talk about. We're coming into one of the hardest times of the year where players will be rested leading into buys. Look what happened last week with Birchall. We all knew it was going to be a Hawk. It was going to be someone who gets pulled out. And it was Birchall. Ellis is obviously injured. Roy, what news have you heard on him?
Ellis, he's not coming back till after the buy. And that's at best. The round after the buy at best.
So it's not looking good.
And it doesn't look good.
No. But there's other guys, though, that have probably had their rest and you could potentially trade them in with a bit more confidence.
Yep,
so guys like Heppel, who has had his rest, Birchall this week, and even a guy like Stanton who missed a little bit with his injury, they're not going to rest him again, surely.
No, I'll tell you who is a superstar of the competition at the moment that had his rest last week, I should know, due to late withdrawal, Steve Johnson.
Yeah.
He's not going to have that week rest, you know, 1 week out from the bye. He's had it last week.
And a very handy round 12 bye player too. So
jumping on him this week against the Suns and then Giants next week. Yeah. He's gonna be nasty.
And won't rest after having that rest last week. No. So you think he's gonna be looking good.
He smashes those teams. It's down at Skilled this week too, Caboon.
Yeah, and the last thing quickly is obviously captains. We've talked about how Swanee sucks and it's gonna be a huge one this week because Ablett plays Geelong at Skilled, home ground, but geez, they restrict teams, you know what they've done in the past. But then we've got a couple of juicy options like Stevie J who just butchers these teams. So, Calvin's captains, Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. Make sure you're there at our website. That's where you'll find it all.
Now, also on Wednesdays is the Jeppers Juniors, the most read article on DT Talk.
Man, am I?
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Calvin, I knew you weren't happy about that.
Is it really?
Yours is predictable. It's always Swan. Oh, okay,
I'm going to tell you now. This week, Swanee and Ablett won't be one or two.
Oh, so you're reacting now. Reactive Calvin's captains. Just because I give you a little bit of crap.
Bloody Jepper.
Now, Jepper will get it right because he's been spot on all year and he's been fantastic with his rookie articles. So, Jepper's Juniors, check that out on Wednesday mornings. It is the most read article,
Calvin. It's the best article on the site.
Oh, definitely. Anyway, so he's going to have plenty of stuff there. But just to get on some bubble boys to be thinking about, Brent Staker already is the most traded in player this week. And with Wright, he's $132,000. You can pick him as a defender or a forward. So, could be a great downgrade from Turlich to get you through these weeks, or you know, one of those forward guys, like if need needs to go and those sorts of things. He scored 61 and 71, so his break even sits at negative 48, so that's pretty good. He has averaged all right before in the past, 73.5 back in 2010.
The thing is, it's job security that's most you know, biggest selling point, isn't it?
Definitely. Yeah. And a guy that probably doesn't have the job security would be Mark Hutchings. Mm. Now, how good has he been? Amazing. 84, and then he had 97. He started as sub, which pretty much alarm bells bang, and then came on early because of a concussion. So he, yeah, he knocked out that 97 on the weekend. His break-even's at negative 116, so that is absolutely massive. Averaged 104 in the waffle last year, so he's got a huge DT game about him, but it is job security.
Yeah, he ticks every other box well and truly.
Yep. Yeah. So is he a guy that you would get in this week, Dog?
Well, you need to if you are wanting to get him because his price changes because he is on the bubble. However, I would probably look elsewhere. He's not on the bubble because he's just played the one game. I'd look more at the Western Bulldogs rookie there. He was sort of, I think he came pick 21 last year. And so he scored 83 on the weekend, and his break-even at the moment, even though it doesn't really work, it's negative 98. And if he scores well again, he's going to be an absolute jet. 107 grand you'll pay for him. Averaged 89 in the under-18 championships, 103 in the TAC Cup last year. So he's got a DT game about him. I'd actually either wait to get on him, and you can get on him after buy, or if you really need to get him, I'd probably choose him over Hutchings this week, mainly because of that job security thing, which is what we really need over these buys.
I'll tell you what, Hutchings had an easy game. And who was your other boy there? What's his name?
Sam Colquhoun?
No, the one that you just talked about.
Oh, the Bulldogs. Nathan Bulldogs Horvat.
Yeah, and they got a win, which is rare for them.
Yeah.
So, you know, both scores are highly inflated for those two.
And I did just say Sam Colquhoun as well. He's playing his third game this week, assuming that he gets picked. He's a defender, mid, 102 grand. His break-even's sitting there at negative 40. 52, 53. Going to be solid, just as much as what any other rookie was.
Maybe Charlie gets that.
Yeah.
On a good day.
So you're paying a lot less for him.
He has a day out.
That's it there. The other thing, they're not bubble boys either, but the rucks, especially if you were looking at trying to get in a rookie ruck or a cheaper ruck with all of these issues that we might have this week with the Berg, Sam Grimley wouldn't touch him, had 81 on the weekend. He's 108 grand.
So
he was pretty good. But then Daniel Gorringe, he had 66, probably a little bit better job security. The only thing is that they've got that other guy, that Nichols there, that is probably knocking on the door as well, because Gorringe was pretty well smacked up in the ruck. So they're the bubble boys.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's an interesting thing. Now, break-evens are very important, Roy, and you have been looking at some breaking evens.
Yeah. Now, I've had a look at the break-evens. Only to assist me with who I was looking at the best trades coming in this week. My favourite is Matthew Boyd.
Boydy!
We all know Boydy can do. You know, when he's fit, he's 115 average. At the moment, you're going to get him. You'll never get him better than this, actually. He's currently priced at 481, which is down 112,000.
Bloody hell.
And his break-even is 66. So
it's time. He's about to go through the roof. Time to jump.
Well, exactly. If you're worried about him, whether he's in form or not, he's coming off a 144.
Yep.
So he ticks all boxes. Get him in. Did I say he ticks all boxes? I will just tell you why he ticks all boxes. He's playing against Port, so you like that initial reward when you get someone in. His last three scores against Port, 133, 123, 133.
Oh, maybe even captain material.
Oh, wow. I'll tell you what, he's got to be in top five. An interesting one, Luke Ball.
Okay.
Luke Ball, he's on the bubble now, and his break-even's 24. He scored 123, which was a team best for the Pies on the weekend. So keep your eye on Luke Ball. A mini upgrade from, you know, the maxed out rookies, for example, Lachie Whitfield. Adam Goods is all of a sudden back in the mix. Yeah, after scores of 117, 97 and 147 in the last three, his break-even's down to 46. So he really needs to be looked at. Great history versus Essendon too, with a 120 and 139 in his last two. Now, you're going to think I've jumped in a time machine here, but if you're looking for someone in defence and you are not worried about arresting...
Old school.
Yeah, old school. Corey Enright.
Oh, yeah.
He is on fire. Listen to these numbers in the last four. 123, 99, 101, 101, with games coming up against Gold Coast and GWS. Yep. Is that unbelievable?
I like the old schoolness coming back in.
Yeah, I do too. Now, give us
a percentage. Well, you've got Berger.
Yeah, yeah. Good point. I'm a bit ashamed about that. But you guys tell me, what percentage is Enright to rest one of these next 2 weeks?
Well, very Highly.
Yep, you cannot get him in, can you?
You couldn't 67%.
On numbers.
I was going 72%.
I just love my old school boys, so I wanted to read that out to you, but you cannot do it, unfortunately. No. Now, one with a massive break even, so we'd want to stay away from him at the moment, Grant Birchall.
Yeah.
One man's trash is another man's treasure. He is going to be ripe for the picking. He's down to 4.11. He's got a break even of 145. Now, my concern is, though, he could potentially reach that against the Demons this week.
Oh, he easily could. So, well, just look what Barlow and those boys did to him. They just smashed him a bit. Well, who doesn't smash him a bit?
Well, they had I can't remember the number off the top of my head, but it was a huge amount over 100. Was it 10 players over 100?
It was something like that. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It was, I think it was 11, actually, off the top of my head.
Half the team.
So, you know, he's had a bad run of form. He scored 400s to start the season. He's had a horrible run. He's had his rest. He's going to come back all guns blazing versus Melbourne. So it is, if you're ever going to break the rule and get someone in early with a big break even, I reckon it would be him, especially with those backline issues at the moment.
Agree.
Yeah. Awesome. So good work, Roy. There are very important things to look at, especially over the buys as well. Break evens are going to be a bit of a key to be looking at which guys you're going to pick up. All right, to finish off the little podcast for today, gentlemen, we're going to look at some questions.
Are you talking just to us or the viewers? Gentlemen and ladies? Or?
Oh, I'm talking to you guys. Oh, good. Because I know that there's going to be probably at least half the audience will be female.
Thank you.
So the gentleman that I'm speaking to... Oh, look at Roy trying to impress.
No, just looking after everyone.
Roy loves a podcast because he didn't even have to put his makeup on for the show.
Well, no, and Warnie's probably right. The female audience will go down because they don't get to perv on the dog.
All right, here we go. So we're going to pull out some questions from the My Team post that comes up every Monday on the site, because that's where a lot of people go to get some advice and have a bit of a chat. And the first one here comes from Jack. Should I get Boyd or Barlow, Calvin?
Boydie. Just based on exactly what Roy said, he's an absolute bargain and he's a guy who could potentially average a 115. So, look, Barlow has been good, but Boydie will be better.
Yeah, I agree with that. What about you?
Yeah, well, you can't deny how good Barlow's been, but Boydie, he's just done it over so many years. Get Boyd.
Cool. All right, Lefty wants to know, what's everyone's thoughts on Luke Ball? I'm tempted by his price. I can do Turlick and Viney out for Staker and Ball. You know, what do you reckon? Because buys are probably quite interesting. Roy's just talked plenty about Bally there. Is that a good option? Is he a good option to be getting in this week for Viney?
He certainly is. His value is undeniable. He'll go up $25,000 after this week. And, you know, he'll go up another 100K after that over the duration of the season, probably.
One of my thoughts with that, too, is that even he could be one of those little bridging trades for these next 3 or 4 weeks. Because he's got the round 13 bye, which a lot of our midfielders actually
do.
He could be one of the guys that you ditch
come
round 13 for a round 11 or 12 player. And he would have, you know, made at least 100 grand there, if not a bit more. There's quite a few there. Selwood's injury, what do we know about that at the moment, Calvin? Do you know much about that at the moment?
I don't know much about it at all. I know that it's an elbow, and I know that he left during the third quarter. He actually said in an interview after the game that he's right to go. And, but geez, as we just said, Suns this week, Giants next week. He's a very, very massive chance to rest this week.
All right, Roy, what do you reckon about Hartlett at only $335,000?
I cannot. This is another one man's trash story. I cannot bring myself to even look at him, but his value is undeniable. It's, you know, he's looking at almost a straight swap from your rookies.
Is he the Greg Broughton of years gone by?
Well, yeah. Yeah,
he's the guy you get in, then get out, then get back in. Like.
Yeah, I have to resist temptation of ever getting him back in, but his price is, he's just an absolute bargain.
Yeah, for me, sitting there after the buy, after his buy, because he's got the round 11 buy, he's going to be pretty close to 300 grand.
Yeah.
He's going to, you'll probably make some money out of one of those guys, you know, one of those rookie guys to go to him. So, he's certainly an option for me because I haven't had him. And
those rookies, like Turlick's 320, 321. So, yeah, you'd easily make some cash on him.
If you haven't owned him, you haven't watched him close enough to hate him like I do. So, you'd get him in.
Yeah, right.
All right, well, there are our questions. if you want to be a part of the Mad Monday podcast, when that post goes up, whack your questions in there during the day, and we'll have a look through them and try to pick out some of the good talking points of the round to give a bit of a thing. So that is the podcast for this week. What else have we got, boys?
Well, that'll do us, I reckon. And don't forget, we've got our live show on Thursday night. And there's obviously old Ripper articles, no better than Calvin's Captains and Jeffers Juniors, that goes up during the week.
Yeah, plenty of articles during the week, so make sure you are on DT Talk. And
follow
yeah.
us on Twitter, at RoyDT.
At CalvinDT.
At WannyDT. I cracked the 6,000 mark this right week. Right. How about that?
Holy hat.
All right, so yep, thanks for listening, and see you later.
Cheers.